I'm sick to death, and we appreciate that sacrifice. And I was having dinner with a nuclear weapon, but that made the world safer. When I think about a major blow for the Caucasus area, I feel the same way. And the world is better for it. I do the best I do to gut leaders in a turkey farm. Tony Blair is the same way. For the good of the world, to the highest bidder, we're going to do the job where the mustard gas was. Historians will look back and say, gosh, I wish you'd have given me this written question ahead of time so I could plan for it. Thank you all very much. It's important for us to spread. That's why prejudging is no bothers me. It's gut-wrenching. Because they don't want to be killed. I mean it. I'm sure something will pop in my head. Of course you can. Affect people's behaviors. They could be hidden like the 50 tons of mustard gas in a turkey farm. Maybe I need to learn to communicate better. And the world has learned this. When I say something, that's democracy. I don't think so.
They keep coming. Savage, brown-skinned hordes. Across the customs checkpoints in San Diego, between backed-up cars on our freeways, they hang their laundry out the window. They do jobs white people are too cool to do themselves. I don't care if it starts a race war. I don't care if it brings every bigot out of the closet and gets every brown-skinned savage beaten up on the street. Who cares as long as I, Pete Wilson, am governor and president?
Se pinche weón que dice, quiere chingar la raza. No, 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 quiere matar la raza. Pásame ese cuerno de chivo.
Ahí te va, jefe.
I, Pete Wilson, gave you Proposition 187. In this country, you speak English or you get out.
Inglés a huevo.
I, Pete Wilson, will be president.
Where are the mic on?
Got it. kill. I mean it. I'm sure something will pop in. Of course you can. Affect people's behaviors. They get the kid like the fitness. That's a mustache and a jerk. Maybe I need to learn to communicate better. And the world has learned is when I say something, that's democracy. I don't think so.
To take the lead is expecting too much, but the academics, it seems to me, ought to be demonstrating their true function as critics of societies and at least as intellectual leaders, and I don't think they're doing it.
The obvious, the silly, the true has got to be defended.
Everlasting battle for the minds of men.
The average American is still closer to Bill Cosby or to Dan Rather or to Mickey Mouse went to the neighbors next door. It's awesome. It's scary. It's frightening. How real the television. Matter of fact, I've never seen George Bush. The only thing this to me is a cluster of electrons on my screen. Matter of fact, I know Mickey Mouse better than I do George Bush.
People, or whether it was the government saying you got to fight this war.
Because everybody's catching on now. Who controls the screen? Control society. Who controls the screen? If you let that control your mind, the upside of that is you. Individually, you've got to control what's on the screen that you look at.
No phenomenon in recent times, not even racism or the Vietnam War protest movement, has so intimidated the establishment press. They insist their reticence on the subject is journalistic caution. The press's natural pride and vanity is that it believes it champions the values of a democratic society, and that it serves as a sort of archangel guarding civilization.
There's a very clear and open criminal conspiracy between the subsidy worker of America and the shadow, which is more shadow than usual.
And I think Bush will have to say that it's incarnation, reincarnation, something out of someone.
Perhaps a lunatic is simply a minority of one.
There's a 3 to 5 years of resale as preferred way of life.
Federal Election Commission, which has arbitrary power to interfere with the process by which the government is chosen, and it too violates due process and equal protection and freedom of assembly and privacy.
Which accomplishment shall we applaud first? Traded away America's future, exiling it into the phantom zone of unimaginable debt? Presided over a nation that has grown acceleratingly illiterate, drug addicted, and murderous? Seen the nation's homeless population grow larger than the population of some entire countries? Presided over the banishment of books from the classroom and the attempt to bring back a Puritan morality naturally outgrown 300 years ago? Which accomplishment shall we applaud first?
A good human being in industrial society is prompt, dependable, reliable, productive, efficient, and of course replaceable.
Think for yourself and question authority.
Face I see, confuse and steer, with endless fear, broadcast it on TV. Principles of yore ignored to enter into strife, not once but twice, invading lands, destroying precious life. Hysteria, hysteria, God damn the other ones. Our selfish gain, bloody stain, our banner.
President, I'd like to introduce you to...
Jim. Hi, Mr. President.
Hello. Always nice to see you.
Jim.
You know, the mainspring of this country, wound up as tight as it is guaranteed for the life of the watch. And who's watching? People like you.
Jim.
And you.
Marty.
People who are alerted and unafraid to waste the little time that I've scheduled just for your question. State your short question.
Well, it's the bees and spiders again. They stole my food stamps and sold them to the rat. And I tried to get down to my car for to honk the horn for help, but the snakes is gardening for the cockroaches. I go back upstairs, but the spiders is jammed the police lock. I ain't been inside for a week, and I know that my wife is sleeping with the bees.
Could you state that as a question, please?
Well, sure, Mr. President. Where can I get a job?
Many busy executives ask me, what about the job displacement market program in the city of the future?
That's right.
Well, count on us to be there.
Jared.
Because if we're lucky tomorrow, we won't have to deal with questions like yours ever again.
Sounds like some Harry Parch instruments or something. That was, of course, David Byrne. The Other Side of This Life is from the last album that I know of, anyway. It was called Grown Backwards. Came out well over a year ago now. David, if you're listening, wake up. We heard a lot of this thing that Dr. Zom knew about called polyphonic voices of digital descent. Because Dr. Zom knows about polyphonic voices of digital descent. Highly opinionated audio. An interesting little collection of stuff. So let's see, we heard from Joshua Dippold from there, President Says Something. We heard John Saylor, America Unbeautiful. We heard Habit Trail, Five Easy Steps. I think we dipped around. I also played Neocon Job. The Truth Leaks Out. Yeah, interesting stuff. Who knows where you can find it? Wherever you can find it. Dr. Zom is here with me tonight, as I was here with him last night. It's a sort of a continuation. This is the Outside World Obscura. we heard a lot of Robert Fripp there, Manifestations of King Crimson and his one of his projects. Project X and Pieces of Heaven and Earth. We heard I Have a Dream and revisited Lark's Tongue and Aspic from The Construction of Light, King Crimson, because we heard some Robert Fripp tonight. Not a whole lot of Robert Fripp. Not a whole lot of anyone in that room. It was very, very interesting set of slow music at the Aladdin Theater tonight. Fred Chaloner. Actually, Henry was noting Fred's feet must be tired. He was the only one standing, the entire six-man group up there. But Fred was surrounded by some formidable talent. Hector Zazu on keyboards, Bill Rifflin also on keyboards, and maybe some samples. The great Christensen, Matt Christensen on drums. Robert Fripp on guitar, Peter Buck also on guitar. Did I leave anyone out? I think that was it, all six of them. Creating on the Spot, a short West Coast tour that they're doing, which started tonight. This was their first date of this tour, and it was pretty interesting. It was very interesting, beautiful moments of brilliance. And then Hector Zazu would look like just would spin the whole room around with some crazy violent actions of his. It wasn't Hector Zazu. It was Bill Rifflin that did that. Anyway, so we also heard The Mexicutioner, The Best of Brujeria, and we heard Pito Wilson track. That was, of course, Jello Biafra playing the part of Governor Pete Wilson. It was called Raza Odiada, Ito Wilson. So I played that for Danny on his drive home so he could turn it up. Heavy metal from Mexico. Mexicutioners. Yeah. That's what they are. Oh, and we heard a little bit of Fire Sign Theater in there because we were playing the president. Let's see, Dr. Zom played something off the Studs Terkel record of Voices from the Depression. And this is, of course, Community Radio. Just checking in with you. This is 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland. We are Community Radio, non-commercial, non-corporate, get away with murder, that kind of thing. Been doing this since 1968. No one's been able to stop us yet. Jeff Kippelman is in the house.
Yo.
He's brought something for us, I'm sure. In the meantime, I think it's time for little Eric Dolphy.
All right.
It's over. It's gone in the air. You can never capture it again.
So, I forgot to give the phone number. Okay, you ready? It's 503-231-8187. Bringing his cello into the studio right now is Gideon Freudman. Apparently, he calls what he does cello bop. And he'll be opening tomorrow night's Three Leg Torso concert at the Mississippi Studios. And from what Courtney tells me, Gideon does some interesting things to his cello. And to you. So we're going to get a taste of that because Devin's going to set up all his little gadgetry. And he said he can either play it acoustic or he can do his gizmos. We told him, of course, bring in everything because this is the outside world. And it's 1246 and this is 90.7 FM KBOO Portland. We're at 91.9 FM in Hood River in the Dalles in the Gorge. If you're out there in the gorge, I'm jealous. Such a nice passage of a few days here that we've been having. Anyway, or you might be at the Pie in the Sky Ranch, Corvallis, Albany, at 100.7 FM. You're listening down there. But all in all, it's KBOO.
Yabba-dabba-doo.
Yes, exactly. Let's see, what was I going to tell them? Oh, you know, the Aquabats are going to be at the at Loveland next Saturday night. And not tomorrow, but next Saturday night. And on this show, the night before, next Friday night is Mother's Night. We'll be playing Mothers of Invention for you all night long, folks, from midnight until 6 a.m. as early Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention, like we do every Mother's Day weekend here on KBOO. And 2 weeks after that, we'll be doing Miles Davis's birthday all-nighter. It's the May specials on the outside world. So here's a little bit more of vintage Robert Fripp from Lark's Tongue and Aspen. Yeah, this is KBOO.
great to be back on the air again.
It is great to be back on the air. Things have changed so much in the Tri-City area since last we were on the air here.
Yeah, it's true.
There's the new pile driver factory in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
They tore down the old one, which was in Metropolis.
Oh, they did?
They finished building Metropolis, which is why they were using the factory there anyway.
The arson school was finished, but it burned down while we were away.
It did. Yeah. That's a funny news item.
They've added another backlot to the Children's Correctional Film Institute.
It's a backlash.
A backlash.
They've added another backlash.
Well, they're busing the students in now to the Child's Correctional Film Institute, you know, so they had to have another lot for the little...
Yeah, but they've got TV installed on the buses now, so they don't waste any time. They learn all over there.
Oh, no, learn while you ride.
While you burn.
That's the arson school.
My friend Wacko, the Invisible Man, you'll remember him, once said that they were planning to speed up the busing process. They were going to start busing the children in high-speed fuel dragsters and funny cars.
Hot wheel your kid to school.
Yeah, that's right.
Good idea.
Japanese trick.
Also, some interesting news, which is, I hear this from an executive, kind of a spy, an industrial spy of mine, a young executive downtown who feeds me news on lunch hour, that many of the parents of the children who are being bused are also being bused now. They're being picked up at their offices by high school and high-speed funny cars and being bused to other areas.
Pete, I think you're confusing. That's bused in the sense of being kissed.
Well,
that's bused in the sense of being busted.
Oh, no, it's true.
You know, there were many executives, actually, that were kissed off in their offices, bused to another area, and then busted there because they didn't belong there. And their kids had to come down and sign papers to get them out of jail.
Well, I'm for that.
Yeah, well, you have to be for that.
Well, I know. I had to sign that paper at my local SCAT meeting.
Your local SCAT meeting?
Yeah.
What was that?
That's with my local policeman.
SCAT?
To keep the cats out of his... You know, the cats, they come bobbing down the street, man, and they're hanging out at Phil's house. So,
right, it's a lecture on robbery. They show you a movie on robbery, and while you're gone, they rip off your house.
You know, one of the advantages of coming from the Tri-City area now is we get an opportunity to meet a whole class of people that we've never been able to meet before. People that we weren't close to geographically
before. The class of 52?
The class of 52. One of them is with us.
The kids.
Here this evening. A great man.
I think I speak for them, although I'm of the class of 29 myself.
A great class.
Well, you know, many years ago, Pat, a very simple man, a horse waterer from Indiana, wrote down some words that has meant more to every succeeding generations of young Americans than the last generation of young Americans had meant to think.
Yeah.
And I...
well, music.
I'd like to recite it to you now, if I may. The writer, of course, it was the great philatelist himself, Charles Everett Philatio.
The Wanger. Yes, I remember.
And this is his famous, "I am the president's man. I am the president's man. I like what the president likes. If the president likes the Dodgers, I likes the Dodgers. When the president stands up in the cold at Valley Forge, I stand up beside him. If the president has blue cheese dressing and the baked potato, can I do different? Yes, I am the president's man. If the president sits on a stump, I'd be proud to sit on that stump just behind him. At Montenegro Bay, at Dorcas Point, in the Philippian War, on Bum Spit, well, he was there. At Rudy's, at the Ritz, at 21, dancing all night. He was there, and I was right behind him, like a bridge. Sour cream and chives on your baked potato. Yes, ma'am, just like the president.
papa's got a brand new bag.
Fire Sign Theater there. Well, I don't know. They were playing James Brown. That was some recordings, unreleased on any album, but some recordings from their Sunday night. Every 4 hours, when I was in high school, we'd listen to every 4 hours of the Fire Sign Theater's religious radio, 4 or 5 crazy guys comedy hour. And they did that on KPFK.
I remember.
Unrelentlessly, every Sunday night. It made it hard to listen to Elliot Mintz. But now it's 2006 and you're in Portland listening to KBOO, just in case you needed to check that out. It's like you thawed out your mescaline, you forgot what year it was, so you're in late night radio land. No time, no space, just KBOO Portland. We're at 90.7 FM. Let's see. Before Fire Sign Theater, we heard more classic Robert Fripp and King Crimson from Starless and Bible Black, I think we heard. Lark's Tongue and Aspic, that's what we heard. Never mind. But we told you earlier about Gideon Freudman and his cello, his cello bop, as he calls it, and his gizmos, which Devin has now set up all in the room in the studio too, so he has room to stretch out, but I can see him in there. And now I can hear him. Hi, Gideon.
Hey, Daniel.
So this is pretty nice. That looks like a very old cello. Is that an...
Yeah, it's about 100 years old.
Uh-huh.
But this is my acoustic with a pickup on it. Tomorrow night I'm going to play the electric.
And tomorrow night he'll be playing at the Mississippi Studios. What time?
8 o'clock.
He'll be playing at 8, opening an evening of Three Lake Torso's latest concoctions.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Yeah. And... Are you gonna do acoustic as well, or what are you gonna do tomorrow night?
I'm just gonna play electric. I'm gonna plug my cello in and go nuts.
Well, even though we said sure, get everything, because we tend to do that here, just get everything and plug it in. You can do whatever you want. I mean, you could play what you're not gonna play tomorrow night. You could play what you've never played in your entire life before.
That was my plan. I was just gonna make something up.
That happens here. That happens here. When Fred Schallener came in one night with Elaine DeFalco and Henry Franzoni, Caveman Shoe Store, and we encouraged him to just go out, and they played one tune, and they went out, and they never came back. Because they spent the entire hour on this tune. It was hilarious.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, so...
I'm not sure I'll go off for an hour. It's been a long day, but I'll go somewhere.
The point I'm trying to make, Gideon, is we won't stop you. This is... the outside world on KBOO. And yeah, let's listen to, I'm anxious to hear what you call it cello bop.
Yeah, it just means it's cello and it's not classical. You can attach whatever you want to bop.
For those that need titles, I guess.
You had to do that. Wants to know what style. But anyway, I'll play something and then you can tell me what style it is.
Okay.
Or not.
Yeah.
that it's an option.
Gideon Freudman. Well, what about my back? Wow, your cello even applauds. His cello does everything. Who is that? That's Gideon Freudman, folks.
Hey!
That was pretty nice, Gideon.
Thanks, Daniel.
Does that have a name, or are you just flying?
I just made that up. That's called The End of a Long Day. Or Toward the End of a Long Day.
I wish that you could have seen him, folks, because what, you know, I mean, if you were listening carefully, you heard one thing go for a few measures, and then he would reach over, and then he'd do another of him, and then there was two of him underneath, and then the third one, and a fourth one. That was pretty exciting.
Thanks, it's fun. Yeah, I'm using some pedals here. I got a delay that makes notes echo like this. That's one effect. And then I've got the looper that lets me... Well, actually, let me show you a little more with that delay. So that makes sense. I'll make it go a little faster. And I can play along. So I'm just playing something, and it's echoing, and I'm just staying in rhythm. And the other thing is a looper that lets me play a phrase like this. That. So now I just finished a loop and I hit the pedal, so now that phrase I just played is going.
Your
over
invisible
and over
self
again.
Is playing. Right,
right, my invisible self, and then my visible self will play along. So that's just real time playing, but I can add that to the loop like this. And here it comes. There's my invisible self.
Two invisible selves.
Here's another one. I got that repeating, and I can play along.
The room is filling up with Gideon Freudmans, folks.
So that's how that works.
And so that's.
So yeah. It's technology. It's using looping and delays and stuff, but it's all real time. It's as I go. It's not it's not pre-recorded, God forbid.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. But I mean, that's what you'll be an example of what you'll be doing tomorrow night at the Mississippi Studio.
Yes, that's right.
And with that very cello right there. That
no, not this cello. I'm going to use my electric, which looks more like an anchor, kind of. I have a website with a picture on it. Should I say the website?
Sure.
Get this, it's cellobop.com.
Cellobop.
Isn't that easy? And there's no H in cello for you non-Italian speakers.
There's Agent Cello? Is that what
you're saying? No, no H.
No agent.
No, yeah, there's no agent cello.
It's agent
it's
cello.
C-E-L-L-O-B-O-P, like mm-hmm. Peter, cellobop.com.
Can you play any bop on that thing, Gideon?
You mean like real bop, like bebop?
Like Charlie Parker.
No, I don't. Nothing I do is actually real in the sense that it's like authentic this or that. I mean, I'd like to think I'm influenced by him and by blues and Zeppelin and whoever, but, you know, I can't
You're
actually...
You're not real?
Well, no, I'm
I can
real.
See you.
I'm real. I just, I don't do...
I believe in you, Gideon.
I'm not literal.
Okay. Well,
how do you respond to that? And I mean that. I'm not literal, and that's exactly what I mean to say.
It's the unreal and very unliteral Gideon Freudman. Well, but so the cello you're playing tomorrow night, is that something that you built? No.
No, it's a cello that was built by a guy named Tucker Barrett.
Here in Oregon?
No, he's in southern Vermont. I just moved out here from western Massachusetts. I was living out in the Berkshires.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Nice here.
Yeah.
Especially today. Today was really nice. I think. I don't remember.
Did you gig back there in Massachusetts?
Yeah, I did.
Like, what kind of stuff have you done before? I have a feeling that you haven't been doing this forever.
No, not forever. But
no.
It's evolving.
Well, where'd you come from, Gideon? Rock and roll or what?
What did I listen to? Yeah.
What did you play before?
I started playing cello as a kid. I played classical cello first from when I was about 8, and then started liking the blues and rock and roll and the Beatles a whole lot and all kinds of stuff, experimental stuff.
And you kept your cello all through growing up. I like that idea.
Yeah, I stopped for a while, and, you know, I thought it wasn't that cool, and then I decided it was It was so uncool. It was the ultimate in cool.
Yeah, there you go. And, came full circle.
Yeah, full circle. So I got back to it, and then as I started traveling more and flying in particular, a solid body electric seemed like a good idea. I was plugging in more and more anyway, and
because you couldn't keep affording the to buy a seat ticket.
Exactly, buying a seat. The gigs didn't pay that well, and the baggage handlers didn't take extra care with the acoustic cello, so I had to get something a little more durable. And I really like it, and it's great for plugging in. Although the acoustic with the pickup on it, which is what I'm playing now,
I like that.
That works pretty well.
Acoustic, that's a beautiful cello.
Thank you. I like it. I've had it for about 20 years.
I thought you had it for 100 years.
No, the world has had it for 100 years, but I've only had it for the last 20 or so.
And you started playing when you're 8, and now you're 18 or 19.
No, I didn't get this. I didn't get this cello when I was 8. I'm 44. Can you say that on the radio? Can you say 44?
4 and 4 is 8.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Do you want to stretch out some more?
Yeah, that's enough.
You're comfortable, and you brought all your stuff. And chit chat's okay, but people want to hear what you do, and what they can expect maybe tomorrow night at the Mississippi Studios at. Did you say 8 o'clock?
Yeah, I play at 8. I'm just going to do a short opener, and then Three Leg Torso comes on.
Will you play with them?
That'd be nice, sure.
You never know.
Yeah.
Courtney's a kind of, all of them, Bela, they're wing it kind of guys.
Yeah, well, I've jammed with Bela, and that was fun. So, I hope to sit in with them. That'd be great.
It's about 1:26. This is 90.7 FM KBOO Portland. You're listening to The Outside World. My name's Daniel, blah, blah, woof, woof. And this is Gideon Freudman.
Hey, instead of completely just improvising, how about I play one of my tunes, like a tune that I know how it goes?
It's okay with me, Gideon.
Okay. This is called Robin Hood Changes His Oil. Thank you.
and roll end.
Portland, are you ready to rock? Gideon Freudman. Gideon Freudman, folks. He'll be playing his cello in all manner of cello playing tomorrow night at the Mississippi Studios up on Mississippi Street. You probably know where it is. You can find it.
It's up in North Portland.
Yeah, North Mississippi. I think it's near Prescott or something like that.
And it's not Mississippi Pizza, but it's not far away from there.
Yeah, if you went there by mistake, leave your car parked because you can just walk to the other one.
Exactly.
And that's 8 o'clock.
Yeah, hey, can I plug another gig, too?
I'm not going to stop you.
It's off in the middle of June, so it's still a ways off, but I just got this thing booked, and I'm very psyched. It's at the Hollywood Theater in the middle of June, Saturday, June 17th at 7 p.m. I'm playing at the Hollywood Theater, and they're showing the 1919 German expressionist film, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
You're going to do music for that?
My latest CD is a live soundtrack I recorded for that album, so for that movie. So it's actually a CD release concert, and I'm going to do a live.
But you're going to do it live?
Yeah,
I'm
going to do it live.
Easier than
film.
Syncing up your soundtrack.
Oh, yeah,
film,
yeah.
Right?
No, I'd never do that. But
no, that's great.
Yeah, I've done it before, and I'm going to do it live.
You know,
here.
We like that sort of thing around here.
What's not to like?
Yeah. We've done, actually, we had a surreal, I don't know if you knew this, we had a surrealism weekend here,
yeah.
In which we kind of took over the airwaves for about, it turned into like 4 days. It pissed a lot of people off, so we knew we were doing the right thing. We had like surrealist game shows, and it was just like nonstop, 24-hour, we were all doing these shifts. We were getting really hazy and strange. People were coming in. We had that studio filled with musicians, including Courtney and Three Legged Torso, but members of Gone Orchestra and people that actually couldn't play instruments. And we scheduled some German surrealist silent films. And
that's great.
Yeah, and so we hooked up a TV in there, and we did what we called the Surrealist Simulcast. We mm-hmm. told people to turn on their TVs and then turn their stereo on, you know, and they did the same thing. Made it up as they watched it.
Yeah, that's cool. I love that. I've done a bunch of silent films, actually, so it's another angle.
Yeah, and for the Boonwell, we had to get kids in here to scream when the kids were screaming. It was very fun.
That's perfect.
But so the date of that again, June
17th, Saturday, June 17th at 7 p.m., Hollywood Theater, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
I'm putting it in my calendar right now. Gideon Freudman doing a soundtrack to the... And if you've never seen The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, then you're doing the right thing to show up because you need to see it on a big screen, bigger than your television set.
Yeah, these old silent films have so much more impact when you see them on a big screen. Any movie does, I guess, but those especially, because it's not it doesn't have all the big splashy effects of modern films and the kind of sound and
I'd stuff. Like that theater to bring back their Cinerama screen. If you're ever in there, look at the right and left side of the screen, and you'll see where the Cinerama screen used to be.
What did it do, wrap around, kind of?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Cinerama. And they had, like, two or three projectors.
Uh-huh.
I think they still have them.
Like a little IMAX Junior or something?
Well, it was 1960s, you know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Saw 2001 in that form. Okay, more cello. We shut up now. You play cello.
Okay, more improv.
Folks, this is 503-231-8187. This is The Outside World, and this is Gideon Freudman on cello. We didn't want to say anything, Gideon. Those our generation grew up with Sergeant Pepper's full 32-second fade out, you know.
Yeah, well, that felt like about 32 minutes.
Yeah, well, sacrilege. You can't really.
You can't
cut
interrupt.
It off,
you know, I was just listening to some Beatles while I was driving earlier tonight, and they played the end of Sergeant Pepper's at Last Big Chord, and. That's always the one more than anything else. Like, okay, how long are you going to hold out?
Because they're
never
going to 32 seconds,
let it go.
You know. But the cooler stations would do that. It would be like, people, what's going on? It's dead air.
Yeah, the stations with like 15 watts of power are the ones that usually do it. But anyway.
But this is KABU, so we don't care.
Yeah.
We do it exactly the way.
KABU will do it. But I got to say, this station, whatever it was, I don't even know, faded into Sun King, and it worked really well. So that was
a commercial rock station did that?
I think so. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was like 92 something.
I'm okay with that.
I was really okay with that.
Maybe commercial radio will learn from non-commercial radio and the world will be a better place.
Maybe. Gideon, maybe, Daniel.
Gideon Freudman, thank you for coming in.
Well, my pleasure. Thanks.
Once again, I wanted to ask you, so the June 17th thing at the Hollywood Theater, is that just going to be you alone doing the soundtrack?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing electric cello with all these toys and
great.
A lot
for
of looping and sounds.
Oh, yeah, for the surreal classic, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari.
Yeah, I think it was the first, or by some people it's considered to be the first German expressionist film. And it was just a little before Nosferatu.
Mm-hmm. F.W. Murnau.
Yeah, and I'm sure right after Nosferatu was made, the guy who made Caligari went, oh, that's what I should have done. I should have been a vampire instead of a sleeping guy because, you know, well, I don't want to give it away. But.
Well, and so, and also, you're playing tomorrow night at the, or actually it would be technically tonight now, Saturday night at the Mississippi Studios.
Right.
North Mississippi at 8 o'clock. Opening for Three Leg Torso.
And there's other things happening in between, but I can't remember off the top of my head.
Well, it's going to be my next question. Where else could people hear you?
Well,
anything recorded?
Yeah, I've made 12 CDs.
What?
I've got 12 albums. Dr. Caligari, the soundtrack one, is my latest one. And my first soundtrack album, the rest are tunes.
Would you say they stand alone if you didn't have the movie to watch?
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the whole idea. I mean, because I've performed it a bunch of times and recorded several of them. And this was the one that I thought held up on its own really the most, just as a recording. And it's most of my records are tunes, whether they're songs or instrumentals or whatever. Mm-hmm. They're just it's a group of tunes, but this was the first album I made that's just like sailing away for an hour. That was kind of fun.
What are all these other albums? Where are those?
Well, they're at my website. If you go to CelloBop, they're there. If you look in Borders,
CelloBop.
CelloBop.com.
Okay.
CelloBop.
Wait a minute. Borders isn't the only place you're selling
them.
No.
I mean, they're in. It's available at CD Baby and.
Why don't you take them over to Music Millennium?
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Both of them.
They're about as old as KABU. We're sort of on a parallel track here in Portland. Music Millennium, the kind of the cool independents. They're stayed independent all these years, all these attempts to buy them out.
Well, I'm new. I'm still figuring it out.
There's a cat over there named Terry Currier who's keeping the integrity of the place.
Is this on Burnside or downtown?
Yeah. Well, they have two, but the original location on Burnside. Go to the back office and ask for Terry and tell him that we sent you.
Should I do that now or should I wait until a weekday?
You'd have to wait, but you could go there now.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice outdoor upstairs deck they have.
Yeah, okay.
What are we talking about? This is late night radio.
I don't know.
Gideon.
We're babbling. Well, Daniel, it's been a pleasure to play here.
Thank you.
And I do have all my shows and stuff posted at that website, along with CD stuff. So that's what I'm going to do to find out where I'm playing, because I actually just sent out a newsletter, and I had, like, I don't know, 6 or 8 shows this month, but I can't remember. I'm doing something at the Coast at the end of the month. I remember that.
Really? Where?
At Glen Eden Beach. I'm playing at a place called Eden Hall. It's just, like, just south of Lincoln City.
Okay, when?
Memorial Day weekend, Saturday night.
We're not going to go to the beach on Memorial Day weekend. You're crazy.
But I'm hoping some people... Well, I'm going to.
Well, a lot of people will, and so hopefully the place will be packed.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I won't be there. I'll just have to see you right here.
There's other shows. I wish I could remember. I'm not feeling too sharp right now. I spaced myself out with that last tune.
You spaced all of us out. It's like he was looking at me, folks, and I was like, not even near the air board. He's like, this is fading out.
How long do I make this fade last?
I didn't want to stop it. Okay, well, do you know who Stephen Colbert is?
No.
You know, I don't either, but everyone else listening does, I'll bet. He's been on The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Him.
Him, yeah. He just did this hysterical
he did.
Thing
he,
at the... It's a, speaking to...
he spoke at the White House Correspondents Dinner.
Yeah.
And I guess it was just a couple nights ago, May 3rd.
Yeah, and he made everybody uncomfortable.
Well, you know, and George Bush was sitting right there.
And you know, that took
and
some balls.
And so... we have, I think we have that. I'm going to try and play that right now on the internet here.
Excellent. Well, I'll enjoy hearing that.
Let's see if we can make it work. And by the way, this is 90.7 FM. Listener-sponsored community radio, KBOO Portland.
Whoever parked 14 black bulletproof SUVs out front... could you please move them? They're blocking in 14 other black bulletproof SUVs. They need to get out. Wow. Wow, what an honor. The White House Correspondents Dinner. To actually, to sit here at the same table with my hero, George W. Bush. To be this close to the man. I feel like I'm dreaming. Somebody pinch me. You know what? I'm a pretty sound sleeper. That may not be enough. Somebody shoot me in the face. Is he really not here tonight? Damn it. The one guy who could have helped. By the way, before I get started, if anybody needs anything else at their tables, just speak slowly and clearly into your table numbers. Someone from the NSA will be right over with a cocktail. Mark Smith. Ladies and gentlemen of the press corps, Madam First Lady, Mr. President, my name is Stephen Colbert, and tonight it is my privilege to celebrate this president, because we're not so different, he and I. We both get it. Guys like us, we're not some brainiacs on the nerd patrol. We're not members of the Factinista. We go straight from the gut, right, sir? That's where the truth lies, right down here in the gut. Do you know you have more nerve endings in your gut than you have in your head? You can look it up. Now I know some of you are going to say I did look it up, and that's not true. That's because you looked it up in a book. Next time, look it up in your gut. I did. My gut tells me that's how our nervous system works. Every night on my show, The Colbert Report, I speak straight from the gut, okay? I give people the truth unfiltered by rational argument. I call it the no-fact zone. Fox News, I hold a copyright on that term. I'm a simple man with a simple mind. I hold a simple set of beliefs that I live by. Number one, I believe in America. I believe it exists. My gut tells me I live there. I feel that it extends from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And I strongly believe it has 50 states. And I cannot wait to see how the Washington Post spins that one tomorrow. I believe in democracy. I believe democracy is our greatest export, at least until China figures out a way to stamp it out of plastic for 3 cents a unit. As a matter of fact, Ambassador Zhou Wenzhong, welcome. Your great country makes our happy meals possible. I said it's a celebration. I believe the government that governs best is the government that governs least. And by these standards, we have set up a fabulous government in Iraq. I believe in pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. I believe it is possible. I saw this guy do it once in Cirque du Soleil. It was magical. And though I am a committed Christian, I believe that everyone has the right to their own religion, be you Hindu, Jewish, or Muslim. I believe there are infinite paths to accepting Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's yogurt. But I refuse to believe it's not butter. Most of all, I believe in this president. Now, I know there's some polls out there saying that, this man has a 32% approval rating. But guys like us, we don't pay attention to the polls. We know that, polls are just a collection of statistics that reflect what people are thinking in reality. And reality has a well-known liberal bias. So, Mr. President, please pay no attention to the people who say the glass is half full. 32% means the glass... It's important to set up your jokes properly, sir. Sir, pay no attention to the people who say the glass is half empty. Because 32% means it's two-thirds empty. There's still some liquid in that glass, is my point. But I wouldn't drink it. Last third is usually backwash. Okay. Look, folks, my point is that I don't believe this is a low point in this presidency. I believe it is just a lull before a comeback. I mean, it's like the movie Rocky, all right? The president in this case is Rocky Balboa, and Apollo Creed is everything else in the world. It's the 10th round. He's bloodied. His corner man, Mick, who in this case I guess would be the vice president, he's yelling, "Cut me, Dick, cut me." And every time he falls, everyone says, "Stay down, Rock, stay down." But does he stay down? No. Like Rocky, he gets back up, and in the end, he actually loses in the first movie. Okay, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The point is, it is the heartwarming story of a man who is repeatedly punched in the face. So don't pay attention to the approval ratings that say that 68% of Americans disapprove of the job this man is doing. I ask you this, does that not also logically mean that 68% approve of the job he's not doing? Think about it. I haven't. I stand by this man. I stand by this man because he stands for things. Not only for things, he stands on things. Things like aircraft carriers and rubble and recently flooded city squares. And that sends a strong message that no matter what happens to America, she will always rebound with the most powerfully staged photo ops in the world. Now, there may be an energy crisis. Well, this president has a very forward-thinking energy policy. Why do you think he's down on the ranch cutting that brush all the time? He's trying to create an alternative energy source. By 2008, we will have a mesquite-powered car. And I just like the guy. He's a good Joe. Obviously loves his wife. Just calls her his better half. And polls show America agrees. She's a true lady and a wonderful woman, but I just have one beef, ma'am. I'm sorry, but this reading initiative. I'm sorry, I've never been a fan of books. I don't trust them. They're all fact, no heart. I mean, they're elitists telling us what is or isn't true or what did or didn't happen. Who's Britannica to tell me the Panama Canal was built in 1914? If I want to say it was built in 1941, that's my right as an American. I'm with the president. Let history decide what did or did not happen. The greatest thing about this man is he's steady. You know where he stands. He believes the same thing Wednesday that he believed on Monday, no matter what happened Tuesday. Events can change. This man's beliefs never will. And as excited as I am to be here with the president, I am appalled to be surrounded by the liberal media that is destroying America, with the exception of Fox News. Fox News gives you both sides of every story. the president's side and the vice president's side. But the rest of you, what are you thinking? Reporting on NSA wiretapping or secret prisons in Eastern Europe? Those things are secret for a very important reason. They're super depressing. And if that's your goal, well, misery accomplished. Over the last 5 years, you people were so good. Over tax cuts, WMD intelligence, the effect of global warming, we Americans didn't want to know, and you had the courtesy not to try to find out. Those were good times, as far as we knew. But listen, let's review the rules. Here's how it works. The president makes decisions. He's the decider. The press secretary announces those decisions, and you people of the press type those decisions down. Make, announce, type. Just put them through a spell check and go home. Get to know your family again. Make love to your wife. Write that novel you got kicking around in your head. You know, the one about the intrepid Washington reporter with the courage to stand up to the administration? You know, fiction. Because really, what incentive do these people have to answer your questions after all? I mean, nothing satisfies you. Everybody asks for personnel changes. So, the White House has personnel changes. And then you write, oh, they're just rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. First of all, that is a terrible metaphor. This administration is not sinking. This administration is soaring. If anything, they are rearranging the deck chairs on the Hindenburg. Now, it's not all bad guys out there. There's some of the heroes out there tonight. Christopher Buckley, Jeff Sachs, Ken Burns, Bob Schieffer. I've interviewed all of them. By the way, Mr. President, thank you for agreeing to be on my show. I appreciate it. I was just as shocked as everyone here is. I promise you. How's Tuesday for you? I've got Frank Rich, but we can just bump him. And I mean bump him. I know a guy. Say the word. See who we got here tonight. We got General Mosley, Air Force Chief of Staff. We've got General Peter Pace, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. They still support Rumsfeld. Right, you guys aren't retired yet, right? Right, they still support Rumsfeld. Look, I've got a theory about how to handle these retired generals. I've caused all this trouble. Don't let them retire. Come on, we've got a stop-loss program. Let's use it on these guys. I've seen Nazini in that crowd on Wolf Blitzer. If you're strong enough to go on one of those pundit shows, you're strong enough to stand on a bank of computers and order men into battle. Come on. Jesse Jackson is here. The Reverend. Haven't heard from the Reverend in just a little while. I had him on the show. It was a very interesting interview, very challenging interview. You can ask him anything, but he's going to say what he wants at the pace that he wants. It's like boxing a glacier. Enjoy that metaphor, by the way, because your grandchildren will have no idea what a glacier is. Justice Scalia is here. Justice Scalia, may I be the first to say, welcome, sir. You look fantastic. How are you? Just talking some Sicilian with my paisan. John McCain is here. John McCain, what a maverick. Somebody find out what fork he used on his salad. Because I guarantee you it wasn't a salad fork. This guy could have used a spoon. There's no predicting him. By the way, Senator McCain, so wonderful to see you coming back into the Republican fold. I've actually got a summer house in South Carolina. Look me up when you go to speak at Bob Jones University. So glad you've seen the light, sir. Mayor Nagin. Mayor Nagin is here from New Orleans, the chocolate city. Yeah, give it up. Mayor Nagin, I'd like to welcome you to Washington, D.C., the chocolate city with a marshmallow center. And a graham cracker crust of corruption. It's a Malamar, I guess is what I'm describing, is a Malamar. It's a seasonable cookie. Joe Wilson is here. Joe Wilson, right down here in front, the most famous husband since Desi Arnaz. And of course, he brought along his lovely wife, Valerie Plame. Oh my God. Oh, what have I said? Gee, Minetti, I am sorry, Mr. President. I meant to say he brought along his lovely wife, Joe Wilson's wife. Patrick Fitzgerald's not here tonight, right? Okay, dodged a bullet. And of course, we can't forget, man of the hour, new press secretary, Tony Snow. Secret Service name, Snow Job. Toughest job. What a hero. Took the second toughest job in government, next to, of course, the ambassador to Iraq. Got some big shoes to fill, Tony. Big shoes to fill. Scott McClellan could say nothing like nobody else. McClellan, of course, eager to retire, really, really felt like he needed to spend more time with Andrew Card's children. Then, Mr. President, I wish you hadn't made the decision so quickly, sir. I was vying for the job myself. I think I would have made a fabulous press secretary. I have nothing but contempt for these people. I know how to handle these clowns. In fact, sir, I brought along an audition tape. And with your indulgence, I'd like to at least give it a shot. So, ladies and gentlemen, my press conference.
I have a brief statement. The press is destroying America. Okay, let's see who we got here today. Stretch. Sir Nerdlington. Sloppy Joe. Terry Lemon Moran Pie. Oh, Doubting Thomas, always a pleasure. And Suzanne Mal, hello! Yes.
Will the vice president be available soon to answer all questions himself?
I've already addressed that question. You.
Walter Cronkite, the noted CBS anchor.
No, he's the former CBS anchor. Katie Couric is the anchor of the CBS Evening News. Wait, how do you guys feel about that? You tousled hair, guy in the back. Are you happy about Katie Couric taking over the CBS Evening News?
No, sir, Mr. Colbert. Are you?
Oh, look, we woke David Gregory up. David, you have a question?
Did Carl Rove commit a crime?
I don't know. I'll ask him. Carl, pay attention, please.
Do you stand by your statement from the fall of 2003 when you were asked specifically about Carl and Elliot Abrams and Scooter Libby, and you said, I've gone to each of those gentlemen, and they have told me they are not involved in this. Do you stand by that statement?
Nah, I was just kidding.
No, you're not finishing. You're not saying anything. You stood at that podium and said...
That's where you're wrong. New podium. Just had it delivered today. Get your facts straight, David.
This is ridiculous. The notion that you're going to stand before us after having commented with that level of detail and tell people watching this that somehow you've decided not to talk. You've
got to... I'm sorry. What's that, David? If I can't hear you, I can't answer your question. I'm sorry. I have to move on. Yes.
Terry.
After the investigation began, after the criminal investigation was underway, you said, all of a sudden you have respect for the sanctity of the criminal investigation?
No, I never had any respect for the sanctity of a criminal investigation. Activist judges. Yes, Helen.
You're going to be sorry.
What are you going to do, Helen? Ask me for a recipe?
Your decision to invade Iraq has caused the deaths of thousands of Americans and Iraqis. Wounds of Americans and Iraqis for a lifetime.
Every reason given publicly, at least, has turned out not to be true. I don't think...
My question is, why did you really want to go to war?
Helen, I'm going to stop you right there.
You stepped into the White House, from cabinet officers, intelligent people, and so forth. Mm-hmm. What was your real reason?
Sorry, Helen, I'm moving on.
When did the president...
Guys, please don't let Helen do this to what was a lovely day.
Now the drone has a sense of empowerment.
The president's own press operation.
No, I'm not listening to you.
She's aware.
Look what you did, Helen. I hate you. Get out of here. There is a wall here. Reeks in there. Ridiculous. I've never been so insulted in my entire stupid job. She won't stop asking why we invaded Iraq.
Hey, why did we invade Iraq?
No! Come on.
Members of the White House Correspondents' Dinner are watching. Who's being stalked by Ellen Thomas or whatever her name is? And catching up with him. At AOLnews.com is where we're streaming this from, and so all we can see is the president sitting, looking kind of bored, actually. But I think Stephen Colbert will come back and finish his talk. After this audition tape now is ending.
What a terrible trip, Danny. Take me home.
His audition as press secretary, Stephen Colbert. In the meantime, I'll tell you it's 2:15 and you're listening to 90.7 FM, KBOO, Portland.
Helen Thomas, ladies and gentlemen.
Once again, Bush is sitting right next to Stephen Colbert as he delivers these comments.
Mr. Smith, members of the White House Correspondents Association, Madam First Lady, Mr. President, it's been a true honor. Thank you very much. Good night.
Impossible to achieve aim without suffering.
create his power. For ourselves, it's a choice.
Yeah. demands a little bit like you and me. I guess that we are in love. Stay away. You might end up like me. Thank you.
so on.
Conductor, mister. Oh, that dog. Oh, I'm quitting. This is too much for me.
Carlo.
We'll never have a symphony in Duckburg unless you lugs get it together.
Carlo, you hold in yourself both the best and the worst qualities of the canine. I wanted to say.
Oh, I'm certainly. I can't say I understood all of it, Bob, but it was.
Immaculate.
tuned in 90.7 FM. This is KBOO Portland. It's about 20 minutes before 3 a.m. And I think it'll be further tonight. But, you know, it's hard to keep track sometimes. But you're listening to The Outside World on KBOO. And at the wheel is Dr. Zom, J. King Fader, Hozek, and Daniel. And Kibbleman's doing something. We're not sure what. Phone number is 503-231-8187. And, well, you heard some Robert Fripp in there mixed with Dub Syndicate. And L's GA, thanks to Brian Cuteen for his record of L's GA. And a little Firesign Theater. And, you know, if I left something out, call us.
Bright yellow ball, and everything else was sky blue. And then there appeared a tiny speck right in the middle. This speck grew and grew until it looked like a flat moon. Then it grew even larger and settled gently on a patch of soft sand in a playground.
A little door opened in the flat moon, and out stepped a tiny creature who sparkled with so many bright colors that he seemed to constantly change his shape. One instant, he looked very short and round. Another instant, he was long and thin, then flat and low, then wiggly all over.
Children who had been swinging on the swings and filling pails with sand stopped to look. The little creature began spinning around quickly, but even as he turned, it seemed as if he had two eyes which kept looking at the children.
And then the little creature fell down. He lay on the sand, still changing his shape, sometimes wiggling, sometimes curling into a ball, sometimes spreading himself wide all over.
Immediately, two children ran over to help the little creature to his feet. But they couldn't find his feet. It was even impossible to hold his hands because they were always changing shape.
Some of the children began laughing. Then they all laughed. Because the little creature, who was shaking very slightly, seemed to go gently up to a position which, had he really legs at all, would have been.
Then another child laughed. And for the first time, the little creature made a sound. It was. Down to rest. The little creature stood still and just shimmered and shook gently. Then, like a slow-motion movie running in reverse, he moved back into the flat moon which had brought him to Earth.
Something to do, do it. If not, forget it. On the cusp of the equinox, a light rain over the dry fields where we are hunting. One kills three foxes and receives a yellow heifer. The hawk falls dead at 100 yards, and everything does seem to further for the moment. Keep moving, ahead of the danger. He who acts is free.
I woke up to find the dream still with me. I remember that I across and I missed the ties of hope from a canvas bag. I was wary of him. I carefully dragged him to the staircase in the hall and threw him quickly over the side. I heard the thunder go off. I tried to make it land on his head, but failed. In closing the door, I discovered that the door was up. I discovered that I was in a movie set. In a set, anyway. The Merv Griffith show was on.
almost like a telethon. On the air for 24 hours so people could be safe together. Because the wolves outside, hungry because the winter had been so severe. Starving, actually. Because the hungry wolves were outside. And I couldn't close the doors against them because it was a movie set. So I woke up.
When do we eat? It's time to eat.
And now, a special offer from Corporate America.
Up as high in the back as you can. This way you'll sprinkle pepper all over the floor, which is really a plate of mashed potatoes. When the music stops, well, you know what pepper can make you do.
My name is Russell, or mine. You see, I don't think you can run a business like ours without satisfaction to the customer. People say to me, Eddie, the sincerest form of flattery, I guess you'd call it, is imitation. Too bad, Steve, but that's just our little joke. The dog isn't for sale. Not since Ralph was arrested have I been able to offer you a demon at these sensational prices. The president said, move these demons, and golly, I just can't afford not to. And you don't have to dress up in Mr. Ed's for style, because there's no suit over $30. Now that a major clothing manufacturer has closed its doors on a substance known as adenosine phosphate, crucial to hair growth. And I wouldn't let my wife drive one of them after what the president said about Ralph. Well, I'm sitting down on the dog now because I wouldn't want to spoil your movie. Some call it a commercial, but I like to call it thanks for the commercial. And whatever kids or spills or your dog does to the hood of your auto, he's not for sale. That's just our little joke. I'd like to show you some pictures of men and women like yourselves in this area. Men and women like yourselves in various poses, sitting on the cars late at night when even Fletcher is gone. Yes, Fletcher must sleep sometime. I couldn't stand on my head to give you a better deal, so I think I'll just sit down here to rest my back. There are too many of these demons here now for me to be entirely comfortable. And the puppy, well, I like to call him your friend and mine, my dog, Storm, and he's not for sale. Everything else certainly is since the president arrested Ralph. There are more demons on lot than a week ago. They're filling up. We can't get rid of them, and there's no one to talk to. Not even this little fella here.
This is a real
demon. I like to call him your friend and my friend, my dog, Storm. The second, he's not for sale. Like people in this area, men and women, like yourselves, who thump and run when the president says sell those demons. Oh, I'll just sit over here and wait for them to come and get me and this fella here, who I like to call stuffed. He's not for sale. But millions are just like him, men and women like yourselves, who are making a fortune today selling stuffed dogs as the streets become full of demons and no fit place for this little fella here. I'd like to call him Sturm und Drang, but they won't let me. Well, now, gee, thanks for the interruption, and back to your game.
Listen to
closely, this is a real demon possession.
You have no more place in this man. Your place is gone in this Lester. Lester has lost his place with you.
Hey, Lester. Now you'd be a catch-up ball. Touch the floor three times and then jump up in the air like this. One, two, three, jump. Do it again. Jump. And again. One.
Bad duty fans, and I want to clue you in on my weekend plans. Loopity scoopity fiddly flop, I guess this Saturday's our very last hop in the Ohio area, and we'll be there with Round Sounds upcoming, so if you care for the show, I hope if you live in the neighborhood, you go to the Immaculate Conception Church Record Hop in Willoughby, Ohio at 37950 Euclid Avenue. Fun and games, lots of surprises, dance contests with LPs for prizes, lots of fun for everyone. Mad Daddy there with the show. That's this Saturday night about 8:30 o'clock. So if you can, I hope you go.
Thank you, Mad Daddy. Thank you, King Fader. Thank you, Dr. Zom. It's another night in the outside world. And Dr. Kippelman. Stay tuned for further. This is 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland. The outside world will be back next week with our annual Mother's Night. That there's no apostrophe there. It's the Mothers of Invention all night long for Mother's Day weekend. We do it every year, the Friday before Mother's Day.
Tradition.
So, yes, we'll have a six-hour marathon of early rare recordings of the Mothers of Invention, Frank Zappa's little band of twisted teenagers. And 2 weeks after that, Miles Davis's birthday, another all-night special here on the outside world. We're at 90.7 FM. We're at 100.7 FM in Corvallis, Albany, 91.9 FM out in the Gorge, and KBOO.FM. We're going to go out with David Byrne, one of my favorite songs about a relationship. And stay tuned for further. That doesn't sound like it.
Do you have a moldy basement? Is your basement full of toadstools and fungus? Is it causing damage? Don't lose tools and valuable clothes to rust and corrosion. The answer, of course, is an RCA Whirlpool electric dehumidifier.
When you see an accident, do not turn your head and look away. I can see detectives are sifting through the wreckage.